This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam and welcome back to the seerah of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As we left you last time, we said the persecution now extended to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, not just the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And we left you where Uqba ibn Abi Ma'it left the intestines of the camel on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha wa ardaha saw that scene, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua about those seven and about Quraysh, and we also talked about the persecution of the early Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Not only that, when Abu Jahl alayhi min Allah ma yastahiq did what he did, and Abu Lahab again did what he did. And there's so many things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam persevered in persecution that he has given us as an example in every aspect of patience and perseverance. Today we'll continue inshaAllah with the scene of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the persecution of the Quraysh among the honorable society even then, even the little than that. And taking you back to that scene where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all the garbage dumped in front of his home, the thorns on his path, what happened to him physically, what happened to him when he was abused verbally, and so on. So he comes out and he says, Ya Bani Abd Manaf, أي جوار هذا? He says, Ya Bani Abd Manaf, the tribe of Abd Manaf, these are my family and my friends. These are my the neighbors. That he says, أي جوار? What kind of neighborhood is this? What kind of neighbors of rights is this? So again, I pose a question to you, أخي and أختي. Again, I reiterate, we are doing this to learn, to become better Muslims, better human beings, to lead the world again, inshaAllah. But the only way, we come back to the Quran and Sunnah, inshaAllah. Learn and behave from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's أي جوار هذا? What kind of rights of the neighbors? So ask yourself a question, أخي and أختي. How are you with your neighbors? Do your neighbors say, oh, I can't hardly wait for this man to move on. I can't hardly wait for this sister, you know, to move out. Or when you come in, does the neighborhood, أخي, نختي, goes down in price? Or does the real estate value sell? They're coming. Or say, Alhamdulillah, Muslims are coming because they're going to help us do this and they're cleanest, they're more hygienic, they look after us and they help with the shovel of snow or whatever it is, if you have snow over there, cut the grass, or do you dump things on the other side? Listen to Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu warda, or Abdullah Mas'ud, I could be mistaken. He had some narration says a mouse. And one of the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, said, take him out, hushu. He says, kick him out of your home. He says, no, I can't. Because if I do, he will go to somebody else's home. He says, no, I'd rather be plagued with it as opposed to somebody else be plagued with it. Allahu Akbar. Or do we just dump our garbage somebody else? It doesn't matter, it's not my problem, it's his problem, her problem. La ya akhi. Prophet Muhammad looked. We look after the neighbor. We look after. This is even the seventh. He says, "Asani hatta dhanantu annahu." He says he kept giving me advice. Give me advice to be good to the neighbors. Good to the neighbors. So I thought he's doing what? He's going to inherit me. So please use the measuring stick, akhi and ukhti. So when Prophet Muhammad says, "What kind of neighbors is this? What kind of rights is that?" That was given to the tribe. Now Abu Jahl, alayhi min Allah man istahiq. He used to come to listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Believe it or not, it's true. He used to actually come and listen to Quran from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But wala yuti' wala yasma', bal he is not listening, he is not obeying, he goes on the opposite. He goes, izdada kufra, subhanallah, am ala qulubin aqfaluha. Ya akhi, these hearts are sealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, afala tadabbaruna al-Quran am ala qulubin aqfaluha. Will they not ponder and reflect? Will they not think about what the Quran has to offer, these beautiful miracles and so on, the signs, or their hearts are sealed, and that's what it is. So when Abu Jahl, alayhim Allah mastahiq, did what he did, is فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. He did not believe, not prayed. So I know we talked about prayer before, just a reminder, akhi and ukhti, please understand that the salah will be the first thing we will be held accountable for on Judgment Day. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What did he say? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. Allahu Akbar. What puts you in this abode? Saqr is even lower grade than Jahannam. Imagine, even worse than Jahannam. Jahannam is the highest one, which is the lightest one. And he says, darakat, low. Darajat, up high. So we say, what has put you there? وَلِعَدَ بِالْأَسْنَةِ وَإِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. says, لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not among those who prayed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again revealed verses regarding Abu Jahl, regarding not فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. But he did what? He lied, he belied, and he did not believe. وَتَوَلَّى, turned. تَوَلَّى could be with his body and his heart. Some of the scholars says with both. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. So this was one. Number two, أخي من بني أمية. أمية بن خلف. When he used to give Prophet Muhammad ﷺ a hard time, and this again was the abuse was there, the persecution was there, but he used to talk about him. And he says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. You know, al-humaza, the one that actually abuses you, jahri, in front of everyone. حَتَّى يَكْسَرْ عَيْنِي. To do what? To humiliate you in front of everyone. وَاللُّمَزَ, the one that mentions you illy, in secrecy, or behind your back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلُّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Wail. You know the scholars say what wail is? Obviously, woe. But one of the opinions and interpretation says, it's a place in the hellfire. It's the valley in the hellfire. Even the people in the hellfire will يَتَأَزَّزُونَ, meaning they will be harmed watching the people that are in the valley of the hellfire. In called wail. Even the people of the hellfire, they say, أعوذ بالله, I seek refuge in Allah from that. Imagine, ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the honor of Umayyah ibn Khalaf, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Allahu Akbar. These are not just any people, these are the head of kufr, the head of the nifaq, head of hypocrisy, and head of disbelief. Now, Al-Akhnas ibn Shuraiq, he's also among the one that used to give hard time to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not obey that man. He حَلَّاف. He takes an oath regularly. So we also learn something here. It's not like every time you say, وَاللَّهِ this and وَاللَّهِ. أخي, the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, believe it or not, they did not actually take an oath. Why do you think they didn't take an oath? Yes, because all of their speech were truth. They did not have to affirm anything because that was the norm. Unfortunately, nowadays, subhanAllah, including the poor slave of Allah, Allah help us inshaAllah, we sometimes have to take an oath for people to believe. Allah help us, this is an illness. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a cure for this illness inshaAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not do that because these halaf and maheen, halaf fa'al, meaning ongoing, takes an oath all the time, takes an oath all the time. So this is among the some of the people inshaAllah. Now, Abu Jahl comes to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ when he actually listened to the Qur'an and he would did not hear or he would disobey and go to the opposite. But not only that, he would go to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, says, when you go to give da'wah, to propagation for anyone, or read the Qur'an, he says, did I not tell you to stop doing this? Did I tell you not to talk to people? Did I not tell you to do that? So did I not tell you actually do what? Believe it or not, pray. When Prophet Muhammad ﷺ used to stand up and pray, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to say, did I tell you to stop praying? SubhanAllah, ya akhi. He says, Prophet ﷺ at that time actually got angry. He says, بأي شيء تهددني? How are you threatening me, O Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam? He says, أما والله إني لأكثر هذا الوادي ناديا. Oh, by Allah, I am among the honorable and I know so many people. ناديا, I will call them. You know to do what? Call him to take care of you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ كَلَّا لَا تُطِعْهُ. I'm not going to say the verse, otherwise inshallah there's a jinn, but you know the rest inshallah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he says that, I will call my people. But it's not that I call my people, you call my people, and let's do lunch. Wallahi, it wasn't that. These were the time of wars. He meant to seriously. He says, stop praying, otherwise I'll call my people. How are you, man? If you don't stop praying, you're fired. Okay, master. I'm not even a Muslim, man. My name is Mo. My name is Queen Latifah. You know what? The people think that I'm Muslim. I'm not really Muslim. Pray, what pray? I don't know. Allah help musta'an, ya akhi. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if you don't stop praying, I'll bring the people. Allahu Akbar. He says, bima tuhaddidni, I'll lad'u. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is backing up, says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ. Believe it or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go ahead, let him call his people. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَ. You know what Zabaniya is? Zabaniya Jahannam. Even Abu Jahl, remember Abu Jahl was actually called Abu al-Hakam, believe it or not. Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham, original name. His real name. But he was dubbed what? He was dubbed Abu al-Hakam, the father of wisdom. But you know why he was called Abu Jahl? It may have been mentioned earlier, but just a quick reminder, inshallah. Because he says that this 19, عليها 19, this 19 angels of Zabaniyah upon the hellfire. They said, we will take care of them. You know, me and my tribe, you know, you take care of these and I'll take care of the rest. Abu Jahl by himself, he will take care of the Zabaniyah. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. Now this is a ignorant multiplied. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a warning. He says, go ahead. He says, you will bring him, I'll bring him. But the Zabaniya, عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما أمرون. These are not any angels. These are harsh-hearted. Strong, they will do only what they do. And he also called, you know, this zakum, you know, that the difficult things that you swallow in the hellfire, وليعذ بالله. He says, this is a date, you know what? And we put it with butter, and it's so easy to swallow. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, ya akhi, says that when he says, I will stop him if he prays again. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed and he says, I will break his neck and I will put his face in the dust. Everybody was watching him. So he promised to do this and he promised to do that. And all of a sudden they see Abu Jahl, what is he doing? He's coming in to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he actually stopped. And he's trying to reach and he's going back and he's now covering himself. And when he asked him, what happened to you, O Abu Jahl? You promised that you will do this and that. He says, كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ Fire. What was between him and I, there was a trench full of fire. And أَجْنِحَ And too many wings. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, this hadith is Sahih Bukhari, Prophet ﷺ says, wallahi, if he came close to me, that the angels would have taken him, tear him apart. So this is among the protection of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala. Again, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, when he was talking to Abu Jahl, as he was telling him to stop to pray and so on, so he stood up to him. He actually grabbed him. He says, أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. You know what أَوْلَى لَكَ means? أَوْلَى لَكَ means كِتَّ أَن تَهْلَك. Meaning you're almost going to be destroyed. So, amazingly enough, how arrogant this Abu Jahl was. He says, wallahi, no one has ever walked bayna jibaliha, between the mountains. Of whom? These mountains, of course, in Mecca. He says, nobody is better than I that walked on this face of the earth between these mountains. Allahu Akbar. Look at the arrogance, ya akhi. Awla laka fa awla. We talked about what happened to Abu Jahl when he gave a warning to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he prayed again, he will do this. And he actually promised the people around him that he would break his neck, push his face in the dust and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what he did, subhanallah, that he actually put this at his trench in between him and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because when he was approaching Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everybody was watching him. So he promised to do this and he promised to do that. And all of a sudden they see Abu Jahl. What is he doing? He's coming in to Prophet ﷺ and he actually stopped. And he's trying to reach and he's going back. And he's now covering himself. And when they asked him, what happened to you, O Abu Jahl? You promised that you will do this and that. He says, كَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ Fire. What was between him and I, there was a trench full of fire. And أَجْنِحَ And too many wings. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, this hadith is Sahih Bukhari, Prophet ﷺ says, wallahi, if he came close to me, that the angels would have taken him, tear him apart. So this is among the protection of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala. Again, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was talking to Abu Jahl, as he was telling him to stop to pray and so on, so he stood up to him. He actually grabbed him. He says, أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. You know what أَوْلَى لَكَ means? أَوْلَى لَكَ means كِتَّ أَن تَهْلَك. Meaning you're almost going to be destroyed. So, amazingly enough, how arrogant this Abu Jahl was. He says, wallahi, no one has ever walked bayna jibaliha, between the mountains. Of whom? These mountains, of course, in Mecca. He says, nobody is better than I that walked on this face of the earth between these mountains. Allahu Akbar. Look at the arrogance, ya akhi. Awla laka fa awla. Meaning way of destruction. Imagine. Now we can see the trend here. How Prophet Muhammad himself he was getting persecuted. Not to mention what happened as previously mentioned. Now Prophet ﷺ is thinking about it. This is just a small picture of a scenery that they had to go through. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, as the best leader that ever lived on the face of the earth, has to look after the best for Muslims. So he had to think of another backup system. And this will take us, inshallah, to the migration, the first migration for Al-Habasha. But before we talk about that, we talk about Ad-Dar Al-Arqam. Dar al-Arqam, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to actually meet the Muslims or new Muslims or people asking about Islam to learn about it, and it was in the hub of the Safa. So it was a bit hidden and a bit protected. Nobody can see it. So what they used to do, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to actually meet with the Muslims, or those who want to learn about Islam. And he would teach them about the Qur'an and Sunnah. And they would actually pray together in congregation. But they would do it with sirran. It used to be in secrecy. That was the sunnah. You'll understand, of course, some fiqh issues and some of the ahkam, the rulings on this. The reason the scholars say that they actually would pray, Fajr, Maghrib, and Isha, Jahran, out loud, and the Dhuhr and Asr, Sirran, because of that same thing. Because people used to be roundabout, and they would hear you. So they used to pray Dhuhr and Asr, when people used to go around in the marketplace, Sirran. Meaning, so they would actually say in secrecy. So nobody would hear him, so it would be saved. It's a form of protection. But the other times, people were not around, they were asleep and so on, they actually raised their voice a bit, inshallah. And that is the sunnah, wallahu alam. But one day, a man saw them. And that's when Sa'd ibn Abi Qas radiallahu anhu started to defend Muslims, because he was coming to harm them. They start cursing them, they start beating them, and they start harming them physically. So Sa'd ibn Abi Qas radiallahu anhu, he was actually defending Muslims, and he harmed one man. He says this was the first blood, uhriq fil Islam. Meaning what? This was the first blood, actually was bloodshed that was spilled in Islam. Now, the cat is out of the bag, and now people are starting to wisen up of what Muslims are meeting and where they're doing and all of that. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is now asking them to start doing what? Leaving for Al-Habasha. Habasha is Abyssinia. And this is because of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Look at the tawadu, ya akhi. Look at the humbleness and the humility of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. He says, هناك ملك لا يظلم عنده أحد. He says there was a man, this king, Al-Najashi, radiallahu anhu, he was not a Muslim then, of course. كَانَ عَلَى دِينَ النَّصْرَانِيَّةِ He was a Christian. But he had a reputation that he was fair. SubhanAllah. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, go. You are now free to start going to Abyssinia, because he can see the persecution and it's going up a little too much. Now even Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is being persecuted as such, and he's given the green light for Muslims to start to migrate to Abyssinia. And because he said that he is Najashi, radiallahu anhu warda, was among the fair people that no one is oppressed at him. Again, that's among his humbleness, alayhi salatu wasalam. And now people are starting to leave. In the hadith that is sahih, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu warda, Uthman ibn Affan was among the first people that actually migrated with the Ruqayya, radiallahu anha, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was among the awwal bayt yuhajir fi sabilillah. Look at the beautiful honor. He says what? He says these were the first people that the first home that they migrated for the sake of Allah. Among the around the fourth year of the revelation, this is where it started to get too much. And even Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu was among those who persecuted Muslims too much. And now he's talking about the patience, how much they had to go through, and what they persevered. And they're talking sabran, sabran, be patient, be patient, be patient, because they see the fruit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, those who were patient, persevered, they will get the eternal reward بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, with no punishment. You know what that means? They will attain heaven, inshallah, without any reckoning. No accountability. But if you think that this is just nothing, wallahi, Allah help you. On Judgment Day, as we mentioned before, is only 50,000 years. The sun will leave its orbit, come close to your head. Can you imagine being resurrected and go straight to heaven, inshallah? May Allah make us among them. Ameen, inshallah. And now, the sabr akhi that we usually take for granted. There are three types of the majority of the opinion scholars. As-sabr ala al-maqdur, was-sabr على المأمور والصبر عن المحظور. Patience of what the divine decree, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a bit of test, takes away your beloved one, takes away your health or wealth and whatever it may be. Patient, persevere, akhi. And then the second one, it says وعلى المأمور, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordain you to do, whatever your obligations. And then الصبر عن المحظور, staying away, be patient and staying away from what is being forbidden. Because I know it's difficult to with your gaze. It's difficult to say no to drugs. It's difficult to say no to alcohol and the peer pressure. Very difficult, wallahi. May Allah help you, inshallah. But I want you to keep that in mind. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. It's impossible for us to go through the difficulties and hardship that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to go through and the companions. So if we take anything out of this, this is a lesson learned. Keep that upon your eye. And I remind you now of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. He used to say, what I used to deal with the calamities, he says, first, أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. Anything happens to me, I say, Alhamdulillah, it's not in my deen. It's not in my religion. This calamity that I have, it's not my religion. I say, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And he says, أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Alhamdulillah, it could have been worse. So always think of that, akhi. Think of this dunya, you always look at the people beneath you. So you're, Alhamdulillah, you're better. So you have $100, but people actually maybe in the red for $100 or lost $100,000 anyway. So for the but the deen, you look at the people better than you. Inshallah, this I fast Ramadan only. And I by this I know brother, this brother, this is our fast Ramadan Mondays and Thursdays or the three the white days and so on, the white nights. So the 13, 14, 15 of the middle of the month of the Hijri, inshallah, and so on. So he says, إِنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. It could have been worse. It's not in my religion. It could have been worse. And he says, أن الله يثبني به الجنة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does it do? Allah will give me Jannah for that. إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. And of course, the last one he says, أنا أتذكرت مصيبتي في فقد رسول الله فما دونها أهون. I remember the calamities when we lost Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he died عليه الصلاة والسلام, as we will see with the seerah in the end, inshallah, إن كنا من أهل الدنيا, if we're among the living. He says, I remember that time. He says, nothing comes close to the loss a Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, subhanallah, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he was the head of that people, and they started to migrate in secrecy. And they did what? They migrated in the darkness of the night. They took that as a cover, and it was very difficult for them. However, even then, Quraysh found out about it, but Allah subhanahu wa taala made it easy for them. It is narrated that there were two ships that came close by, and they took him. There was like commerce. These were trade ships. And they went to Abyssinia. They took them to Abyssinia, all safe, inshallah. Even when Quraysh tried to catch up with them, they looked, they traced them, they tracked them, but they only found their footsteps ends there. And alhamdulillah, Allah saved them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. It's a promise, akhi and ukhti. Keep that upon your sight, inshallah. You'll never go wrong. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعْ عَنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defend those who believe. And if you don't believe it, akhi, look at the stories that we're telling you. Even then, I want you to listen to the adhan, at least to hear it 5 times a day, or hopefully 5 times a day. It says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. At least 4 times, to remind you. Allah is greater, Allah is greater. Greater than any tyrant, greater than any boss, greater than anything else on the face of the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. As he promised, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافَ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, Allah protects or defends those who believe. So they went to Abyssinia. And they lived there, alhamdulillah, safe and sound. And there was, by the way, this is the first migration to Abyssinia, because there is a second migration to Abyssinia, as you will see later. Now what happened? When they went to Abyssinia, they were protected. But you will see later, even Quraysh sent Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, and another Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, after them. Amazing. They don't want him to become a Muslim. Because they're making a fitna, according to them. They're making this turmoils and tests and calamities, because people say there's one God and so on. And now, when people leave him alone, and they leave their homeland, they're after them still. Allahu Akbar, ya akhi. If we leave you alone, can we not at least leave us alone? Even among the companions, radiallahu anhu majma'in, an old woman that was leaving, Umar ibn Khattab was after her. Subhanallah. He says, Ya Umar, you don't leave us alone, not even practicing our religion. You don't even want us to leave? Subhanallah. But then what happened when they migrated? There is the Surah Al-Najm. Surah Al-Najm was recited. And in the end of Surah Al-Najm, there is sajda. But the power and the beauty of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everyone that listened, including the kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers, and also worship any other deities other than God, to bow down to the power of the words. So how is it to you, akhi and ukhti? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us heed to the message of the Qur'an. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa tabi'in.
محمد.